I always find it interesting when we have a clash of values. Like in ethics, we talked about, you know, peace versus truth. So you can have the same thing with different mitzvot. And it gets interesting because you're saying, so, you know, the ranking system, what halacha, some values more. So we're looking at a Gemara that talks about a clash of values, which I think you'll find interesting. Okay, let us go. If you want, you might have this because you're doing Hanukkah stuff. There's a Gemara on Shabbat, Chaf Gimel Mibet. Okay, and the Gemara is discussing what is if someone has limited funds. Because that's a good test case, right? You have limited funds and you want to pay for a certain mitzvah object. Which one will win? Okay, so here's how, as it were, the tournament starts. Okay. So the Gemara says, Amar Rava Pshitali, it's obvious to me, Ner Beito V'Ner Chanukah. If I've got a choice between Shabbos candles and Chanukah candles, let's say it. Well, let's try this, guys. How frequently does it happen that Shabbos and Hanukkah overlap? Yeah, every year, right? Because it's 18 holidays, and Hanukkah overlap with Shabbos. Okay, good. Okay, excellent. So now I'm a man with limited funds. So should I spend my money on... I only have money for one candle, let's say. Should I buy a Shabbos candle or a Hanukkah candle? So the Gemara says, what wins? Ner Beito Adif Mishum Shalom Beito. Okay, so Ner Shabbos is assessed with Shalom Bayit. Apparently Judaism really values. So really, as I said, this shows like this values clash. Okay, what's more important? Apparently Shalom Bayit is more important than Ner Chanukah. Okay, wait, I have a question. I didn't say anything yet. Okay. Oh, okay, do you want to do Afein instead?
No,
that's
good.
Okay. This is Shabbat. Sorry, Chaf Gimel Mibet. Chaf Gimel Mibet. Okay, towards the top. 1 second, Mati. So let's just analyze for 1 second. First of all, why is Ner... Well, Ner Shabbos is kind of interesting. Ner Shabbos actually has three different aspects. There's what mitzvah, what value am I furthering when I do Ner Shabbat? So first of all, we talk about Kavod and Oneg. And Kavod and Oneg are totally independent of Shalom Bayit. So it could be that Ner Shabbat is actually a triple threat. Okay, with the triple crown. Oneg, Kavod, and Shalom Bayit. But let's just go through how it's all three. Okay, and in what way is Ner Shabbat Oneg Shabbat? Well, where am I supposed to light? Where I'm going to eat, exactly. It's not, I just light a candle somewhere. Notice that your mom sent the light right near the dinner table. Right, so it is enhancing the meal, right? Especially imagine a world without electricity. It's a much more enjoyable meal when you have candles. So it adds Oneg. Okay, how does it enhance Kavod? Or, I'll say it a little differently. If you say, let's talk about chronology for a second. If the Oneg takes place during the Friday night meal, I'm having this great meal while there's good candlelight. Okay, when do you think the Kavod takes place? So?
We gave the mitzvah to the woman because...
We'll get to women in a second, okay?
But, to the woman, we
give it. Okay, no, but here we're... I'm certainly in favor of giving kavod to women, but we are giving kavod to Shabbos here. Okay, what?
At the lighting.
Ah, very good. At the lighting. Don't you often honor something by getting ready for it, by trying to create the right atmosphere? So arguably, the kavod takes place actually on Friday afternoon right before Shabbat. By lighting before Shabbat, I'm honoring Shabbat. Oh, something important's coming? Let's set up, right, a nice atmosphere, okay? So it could be the Oneg takes place Friday night when I eat. The Kavod takes place when I light on Friday before Shabbat. And so let's get to the third part, guys. In what way do candles enhance Shalom Bayit? Now here there is a standard shot and a great Meiri. Okay, so one of these days I'm going to write an article about my three feminist mirrors. So let's go to the standard shot. Okay, why does a candle enhance Shalom Bayit? What do you guys say? Yeah, boys? Yeah, I'll give you an example, guys. Oh, let's see where this happens. Maybe Silver Spring and teenage people relate to this. Who has frequent blackouts in their neighborhood? Okay, you know? Cleveland has frequent blackouts? Okay, Toronto has? Okay, so you ever notice that people tend to get really cranky when there's a blackout? Okay, so what if, that's your meal? Like, there's no light, people get cranky. Crankiness is not conducive to Shalom Bayit. And if you have light, people are in a better mood. So then there is Shalom Bayit. So the simplest explanation is, Rashi says this, Nair enhances Shalom Bayit because people will get along better and be happier when there's a candle. The Meiri actually says something fascinating. If you look at the Meiri in this Gemara, okay, when I first told Rav David, he didn't believe it, but it's right there. Okay, the Meiri says, since normally ritual mitzvot are done by the men, And this one's done by the woman. If she loses it, that's particularly painful, right? And therefore, it would be shalom bayit not to give up on the mitzvah that is handed over to women. Okay, so that is quite a fascinating theory. So, but be that as it may, what do we now have? Just to review, the Shabbos candles promote three different values: kavod Shabbos, oneg Shabbos, and shalom bayit. And apparently, which value gives it enough oomph to beat out Ner Chanukah? The shalom bayit value. Okay, Mati.
Instead of looking like a binding clash, can't you? I can't remember this exact phrase, but it's another thing like toilet shame.
Oh, we'll get there in a minute. Hang in there. Very good, Monty. Yeah. It's funny because you said I can't remember the exact phrase and then
words.
Said the exact phrase.
I can remember this toilet different words.
Okay, very good. Yeah.
In terms of the first option for show and why is that exclusive to the Shabbos candles? It seems like I would just have candles anywhere. So I mean, they're like adding some light, but it's not like.
Look, maybe it's a world where they didn't use candles every night. Right? Some night, don't forget that I imagine before electricity, and I imagine, right, most of humanity had a different schedule. Right? You'd get up when the sun rose and you'd go to sleep pretty soon after the sun went down. Electricity has totally changed the human clock.
No, right? Saying, like, if you have, let's say you have a field to have like, a Shabbos meal. You would
no, but you have limited, this guy obviously has limited funds, right?
What?
This fellow has limited money. He's trying to figure out what to spend his money on. But what happens after I pay for my challah and piece of chicken? I have no money left. Right? Isn't that the case? He's limited funds. Oh, one last obvious thing, though maybe it's not so obvious to everybody. Wait, why doesn't he just light the Chanukah candles and eat by Chanukah light? Yeah, you're not allowed to use Chanukah light, right? Don't forget, Chanukah lights and Shabbos lights are the opposite of each other. Shabbos lights you're meant to use, that's the whole point. Chanukah lights are usher to use, so there's no combining. Okay, Gabriel. They enhance. Let's say they enhance Onik. How's that? They enhance Onik. Okay, David Cohen. Oh, you know, you could light them in one room and eat in a different room. Okay. Who else? Somebody in the room? Okay, let's say he has two rooms. How's that? Okay, yeah. By the way, that's not always true economically, by the way. People go through economic shifts. So you could have bought your house when things were better and then struggle. And, not unknown in our day and age either, actually.
The question is, which one to prioritize?
Yes.
So, I donean, I don't know. It seems like one's Minat Torah, one's Minat Derabanan.
Oh, wait. Okay, that was a great move. We're going to get to your move in a second. So Joe Nuziel made a great point. He just made it a minute too early. Okay, the two things that are conflicting right now, what's their halakhic level? Yeah, it is a Durban against a Durbanan. Now, granted, what's confusing Jonah, which is reasonable, is he's thinking, wait, but Shabbat is Doraita. Yeah, the fact that Shabbat's Doraita doesn't mean that everything I do on Shabbat is Doraita. Shabbos candles is a rabbinic addition to the totality of Shabbat. So I do have a Durban. Oh, wait, Jonah, you have a. You're looking something up. What are you looking up? This is getting exciting.
I was checking. One of the things was. We talked about in, for some things important, potentially for like a punishment. And as I understand, I believe it's the Mishnah Masechet Shabbat says.
That's a very good point. Nonetheless, it's the Rabbanan. Okay, but Jonah, there was a great moment in bad Jewish humor about Morocco this week. Okay, I went to a book launch about a book about the history of the Hebrew language. And it said something very interesting. The Spanish Jews were really attached to their culture. And therefore, even when they were expelled from Spain, they wanted to bring their Spanish culture to wherever they went. So here you have Jews expelled from Spain. Now it's the 1500s, and they moved to Morocco. Okay? Don't be upset, John. Okay, the Spanish Jews moved to Morocco. And you might have said, okay, so now they'll go to Morocco. They'll adopt Moroccan. Not at all. Right? They insisted on Spanish minhagim. They insisted on still speaking Spanish. So the Spanish came in and kind of culturally conquered Moroccan Jewry. Okay, that is what happened. Okay, so that was the talk. That was one thing that was mentioned in this talk. And somebody from the crowd called out. It was the right day. But Morocco got them back today. Because that was the day in the World Cup that Morocco beat Spain. Okay, so that was quite funny, actually. But I think a lot of people in the crowd didn't get the joke. But, yeah, Noah Meltzer. Ah, so notice that I can combine it, but you guys, why, based on what we said before, why the kind of, they're at loggerheads with each other, because, what would you just say?
Because you can't drive
I'm supposed to use the Shabbos candle specifically, and I'm specifically not allowed to use the Hanukkah candle. So it's hard to see, even if I could somehow give it two identities, the two identities conflict in a very profound way. Ezra. We'll get there in a minute. Okay? Don't worry. That's what Mati mentioned before. You know, guys, I'm going to take comments in a minute. Let's go to the next clash. Okay, so now the tournament continues. Here we go. Next. Now we have a question. Buy Rabba, Ner Hanukkah, the Kiddush Hayom. I could either buy money, buy wine for Kiddush or Ner Hanukkah. Oh, wait, I skipped one. Sorry. Where we go? Near Beito, the Kiddush Hayom, near Beito, Adam Mishim Shalom Beito. Sorry, we have an internal Shabbos clash. Forget Hanukkah. I have only enough money for Shabbos candles or Kiddush wine. Amazingly enough, what wins? Shabbos candles again. The Shalom Bayit is the ultimate trump card. It seems to always win. So that Shalom Bayit let near Shabbat beat near Hanukkah. It also lets near Shabbat beat Kiddush wine. Now, we're going to move Joe Noziel's comments to right here. And now we can say, wait, that doesn't make sense, because Ner Shabbat is Derabbanan, and Kiddush, shouldn't that be the primary criteria for winning? Can anyone tell me how you could kind of reduce the Kiddush from Deraita to Derabbanan? Why it might not be an issue? Yeah. Excellent, Caleb. What if someone says, well, of course, the first thing you buy is bread. Like, the guy's not going to starve. But once you have bread, as we know, you can make Kiddush on bread. Right, so the Deraita Kiddush, you're already taken care of. You're making Kiddush on bread. Why might be some extra nice rabbinic addition? So at that point, it's really not a Deraita against Derabbanan. Just because you're curious, I know Mark asked me about it this week. Some people think you could be Yotze Kiddush in Davening. Right, so if you Yotze the Kiddush Deraita by Davening Mar Friday night, once again, that's why it's not a Deraita against Derabbanan. Okay, so somehow we have two clashes, and look at the second Caleb. Ner Shabbat is one both because of the Shalom Bayit card. Okay. Michael, you've been right into it today. Not distracted by Times of Israel or anything like that.
No.
Excellent. Akiva Nelson, are you distracted? You're okay.
I know. I'm paying attention. I'm doodling as well.
Oh, that's fine. I bet somewhere in this universe, your girlfriend is also doodling. Okay. 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 Okay, here we go.
Wait, one second.
Okay. So now, there's one last clash. Now, this is my I know you guys know I like sports analogies. This is my favorite sports analogy. Because you know in a lot of tournaments, everyone plays their first game, and then they divide between the winner's bracket and the loser's bracket? Right, so that's what we do right here in Halacha. Who should play right now?
Wine and Hanukkah.
Excellent! Right, Ner Shabbat be Hanukkah candles. Ner Shabbat be Kiddush wine. So now they get regulated to the loser's bracket. And now Kiddush wine takes on Ner Hanukkah. Exactly right. That's what the Gemara does. Okay, but here, the Gemara does something very interesting. It gives each one a factor why it might win. So here we go. So what does it say? So it says, do we say Kiddush Hayom Adif? Mati, Ditadir and Ezra. We seem to, in halakha value, think it's very interesting concept. We value things that are frequent. Things that are frequent might be less dramatic, but in some ways they're more powerful. So when something's tadir, it gets extra weight. So what's the claim? Clearly we say Kiddush many more times a year. Let's say it wins, I don't know, 52 to 8. Right, so at that point, Kiddush should win because it's got the tadir factor. Okay, what does Hanukkah have going for it? Oh, Dilma, Ner Hanukkah, Mishum Parsume Nisa. So then we say, no, maybe Shabbos candle is a beautiful thing, but we're not publicizing an ace. In Hanukkah we are. Maybe that gives it value. So in a certain sense, even better now, because we know exactly which values are at clash. The Tadir value against the Parsume Nisa value. And then the Gemara concludes, what actually wins? Ner Hanukkah, Mishum Parsume Nisa. Okay, so it seems to be that we could have a ranking system. Shalom Bayit would be the optimum value. That's why Ner Shabbat always wins, at least when it's Derabbanan against Derabbanan. Then Parsume Nisa comes in second, and Tadir comes in third. Since Parsume Nisa is more valuable than Tadir, therefore, Hanukkah candles would be Kiddush wine. Caleb.
Maybe they'll add like both values of Shalom Bayit and Parsume Nisa to Hanukkah candles. Can we say that almost like the Zevus like Gorim, like they give up a Shamash, and then have both of just Hanukkah candles? Who do you should go for?
No, but you're not going to have a Shamash in this case, right? If you have limited money.
But don't you need two Shabbos candles anyway? For,
nope. Ah, very good. First of all, where'd you get that phrase, Zevus like Gorim?
I was talking about Judah about whiskey and the halacha.
That was very impressive there. A little obscure halachic phraseology. Okay, so just one quick thing, guys, to realize to make sense of this question. very often in life, we I say that's why it's good to be learned, because you learn a lot from experience, there's no denying it, but sometimes experience can be misleading. So probably everyone in this room thinks, oh, the most, at least, even if I'm really lenient, at a minimum, you need to light shoot two Shabbos candles to be Yotzei Ner Shabbat. Okay, what is the reality, guys? Just one. Okay, you need some kind of source of light. It's true, there are different minhagim. Some people light two for Zachar v'Shamar. Some people like to light per family member. But all that is very, very nice. I'm not against it, but it's not ultimately required. Ultimately, one candle will be the Shabbos candle. And notice, a lot of you have learned this, despite our beautiful minhagim of going from one to eight, what's true about Ner Chanukah as well? The basic mitzvah is one candle. So even if the guy is really poor, he can only afford one candle, he could, in theory, either use that to be totally Yotzei Ner Shabbat, or to be totally Yotzei Ner Chanukah Noah.
I think it's a little strange that, like, we generally have this concept of, you know, Tadir, the ones that are going to be more frequent, and then we just throw in Pursumi Nisa out of
nowhere.
Okay,
excellent.
And then they make
so let's discuss that right now. Okay, Shadabek, you might be ineligible if you remember this from last year. Okay, or at least for a minute, you're ineligible. Okay, can anyone tell me why this night might not be similar to the usual usage of Tadir? We do have this principle, Tadir v'she'eno Tadir. You have a frequent thing and a infrequent thing. Tadir koda. The Tadir has precedence. But maybe this case is a little different than the standard Tadir case. Rafi, as a bad news for you.
Yes.
Your great Hawaiian shirt clashes with your tefillin. Okay, it doesn't really go together. Okay. Yeah, Mika. Micah. Sorry? Okay, no, but for different reasons. It's not because of the definition of Tadir, because this kind of clash might be different than the standard Tadir question. Mati.
Maybe normally Tadir is a question of order.
Oh, this guy is a future Talmud Chacham of Israel. Guys, there are two totally separate kinds of questions in life. There is a sequence question and an either-or question. And I think we can all realize that we'll come with the different conclusions about those two questions. Okay, let's say someone says to me, oh, you have a choice between steak or a salad. Okay, so most of us would choose the steak. But that's if it's an either-or question. But if someone says to me, what would you like to have first? I might say, I'll start with the salad and move on to the steak. Right? In a lot of aspects of life, sequence questions are different than either-or questions. Now, what is the standard usage of Tadir v'sheino Tadir, Tadir kodem? It's in sequence questions. I'll give you an example. Friday night Kiddush. Notice we have two brachot. Bor Pergafen and Mekadesh Shabbat. Couldn't you argue, guys, it would be more logical to reverse the order? Say Mekadesh Shabbat first, and then the Bor Pergafen will lead straight to the drinking of wine? Right, so there are more than one reason, but what is one rationale that tomorrow why we make Bor Pergafen first?
Tadir.
But notice, there it's a sequence question. I'm definitely going to make both brachot. The only question is, which one should be first? So you say, oh, the more frequent one comes first. Okay, so that's in terms of sequence. But here, it's not sequence. It's not that I'm going to do both Ner Chanukah and Kiddush Wine. I'm going to do one or the other. So maybe the Gemara is suggesting Tadir doesn't have such force when I move from the sequence question to the either-or question. Maybe the Tadir is a great force in sequence questions and not such a strong force in either-or questions. That's one way to take the Gemara's conclusion. And that might be why Parsumi Nisa ultimately beats the Tadir factor. Okay. Oh, Isaac, here we go. The pressure's on. It's very tough because every time Isaac makes a comment, it's like a really strong comment. Isaac, you know what? You can just throw in a weak one every now and then. It's okay.
When, like, you're having Kiddush battling Chanukah, is it possible that you don't use, like, the Tadir factor of Kiddush, but you use, like, the only Shabbos part of Kiddush, and then have that go against Pursumi Nisa?
Look, in theory, yes, it's just not what the Gemara says. But it is interesting why the Gemara doesn't bring it up. The Gemara seems to think that what might give Shabbat a leg up is the Tadir. So I'm just working off the Gemara. You're right, the Gemara does not raise the only Shabbat possible. Okay? Yeah. Hey, Tom.
Could you also say that, like, the first two things we talked about were second is presuming Nisa, and first Shabbat, those are more like mitzvah type things versus Tadir is not necessarily a mitzvah, it's more of a principle. Like, is it actually a mitzvah to do something because it's done more often?
That's interesting.
Principle
of how we practice. Look, it is interesting. You're making an interesting distinction. It is an interesting distinction. But again, since we're still discussing clashes, you might say whether Tadir is a mitzvah or not, Tadir might play a role in how we navigate clashes.
It's
a clever distinction. You are making a good distinction. Okay, anybody else? Yeah, no.
Is it possible that, I don't know if this would work
Well, it, it gets into a little with Hanukkah candles, how you understand not just the challah regel min hashuk. Are you doing that with your rabbi now? Okay, so I'm gonna duck it for now. Yeah.
Just to like address Isaac's question, but we see by in there Shabbos, we're also not talking about only when we're talking about shalom bayis.
Mm-hmm.
That makes it maybe only when it comes to the more universal values. We're talking about value clashes, so like it's not fair to say, oh, kavod oneg Shabbos is going to go over pursuing nisa because kavod oneg Shabbos is like a very specific value. Shabbos is less universal.
That's interesting. It's a very interesting idea. Okay, guys, we're now going to move on to a great Tosfot. But for some reason, I don't know why. You know, there's certain things that everybody loves. Is kind of the classic, like rabbinic trivia questions. Some of them are more exciting, some are less exciting. But you probably all heard that somebody in childhood, people love to ask, "What days do we take out three Sifrei Torah?" Right? Is that not true? Everybody has asked that at some point in childhood. That is somehow the quintessential Jewish trivia question. Okay, so there's actually more than one answer, but what is one answer related to Hanukkah? Okay, very good. So even though, let's think about the final guys. Every year, as we said, Hanukkah overlaps with Shabbat, and every year Hanukkah overlaps with Rosh Chodesh, right? If you're going to start an 8-day holiday on the 25th of Kislev, you are going to overlap with Rosh Chodesh, but not every year will Rosh Chodesh and Shabbat overlap with each other. Everyone like that? So if you have Hanukkah and Shabbat, you've got two Sifrei Torah. If you have Hanukkah and Rosh Chodesh, you have two Sifrei Torah. But what if you have Hanukkah, Rosh Chodesh, and Shabbat? So now, which doesn't happen this year, right? No, it does not happen this year. Okay, so now, what do we have to do? We have to figure out, wait, I want to read three passages. What should the order be? Okay? Right? Because I'm going to read the Parshat Shavua. I'm going to read the Hanukkah passage. Obviously, there's no Hanukkah passage in the Torah, but a passage connected to the menorah. And a passage about Rosh Chodesh. But now I have a second question. My second question is, which Haftorah am I going to read? And now I have three choices again. The Haftorah for that Parsha, the Haftorah for Rosh Chodesh, or the Torah for Hanukkah. But notice something amazing. Jonah Delman, how can you be asleep now? This is a great year.
I'm so excited.
Okay. So what's the difference between the two questions, though? Isn't that great? Now you have a sequence question and an either-or question. Life got exciting now. Right? Because I'm going to read all three passages. Right? So I have a sequence question. But I'm not. We don't like to make people crazy with Haftorahs. There's no Havmin here. I'm going to read three Haftorahs. So when it comes to the Haftorah, all of a sudden, I've got an either-or question. Right, so you like when you can combine both those questions. So this is the top Tosfot, guys. Anyone wants to see it again? Quincy, it's Tosfot on Chav Gimel Ves. So Tosfot says, Kishachal Rosh Chodesh Tevet Liot B'Shabbat Sheyesh Lahaftir. What Haftorah should I use? B'Nero De Zecharia. One from Zecharia Navi about candles. Obviously the Haftorah for Hanukkah. V'lo B'Hashemayim Kisi. And don't do Hashemayim Kisi. Anyone know what that one is? She Haftorah Rosh Chodesh. Okay, everyone good so far? So now he is working off the end of the Gemara. Because what's he thinking? The end of the Gemara had Persumi Nisa versus Tadir, and Persumi Nisa won. So apparently Persumi Nisa is pretty powerful. Therefore, if I'm going to read a special Haftorah, the Hanukkah one will overpower the Rosh Chodesh one. Okay, excellent.
You are implying that Persumi Nisa is also in the Iker of Haftorah and Hanukkah.
Right, that is an interesting point. That was a very sharp point you just made. Okay, excellent. Okay, I'm catching what Quincy said. Obviously, Hanukkah historically takes place after Tanakh is done. So even if we could find various menorah references, someone might claim, no, but all those menorah references aren't actually about Hanukkah. So maybe it's a very nice thing to do, but it's really not an act of Persumi Nisa. That was very clever, Quincy. Okay, Caleb. Okay, so what if we do?
So if we do, then doesn't that mean that here it's almost like a flip, like Haddish and Haddish totem, rather than about like the value, but more about...
Wait, are you assuming that Pesach has Pesach Minister or doesn't?
Doesn't.
Does or does not? Okay. So here's... Caleb is asking a very interesting thing, which the other show would have focused on this more. Okay, which is, when do we say that a chag is Persumi Nisa? Because in theory you could say, every chag is Persumi Nisa. Okay, but let's leave it aside for now. Okay, I'm going to take comments for one more second. Let's do a little more Tosfot. Then Tosfot says, I've got a second argument. Kivin shahamaftir kori b'shal chanukah, yesh lo lahaftir me'inyan shekarah. Okay, so now it's the second, but the second makes a huge assumption. What should the Haftorah play off? The Haftorah should play off what we just read. We want to link the Haftorah to the last reading. So what's Tosfos' second argument? Our last Kriyat HaTorah is going to be Chanukah. Therefore, the Haftorah should be Chanukah. But of course, that obviously assumes that when it comes to the sequence, Chanukah's last. Okay, so guys, just two things so far. Tosfos has argued that we're going to do the Haftorah for Chanukah, that Haftorah from Zechariah. What are the two arguments so far? Persumi Nisa beats Tadir. That's what we saw in our Gemara. And, well, we want the Haftorah to link with the Torah reading, and therefore, if the Torah reading is Chanukah, then the Haftorah should be Chanukah. One more second. But now Tosfos understands this issue. Umashi makdim in the Kol B'Shel Rosh Chodesh. Okay, why should Rosh Chodesh win? I mean, why should Rosh Chodesh be before Chanukah? So now everybody in this room should be able to tell me what Tosfos is going to say. Ah, this might be the best proof that sequence values play out differently than either or questions. Because again, in the Kriyat HaTorah, we're quite happy to do all three readings. So, makes sense. It's going to be Parsha, Rosh Chodesh, Chanukah. Why does Rosh Chodesh precede Chanukah? Well, it's a little bit of a closer, I was going to say 12 to 8 win, but no, I guess you should say 18 to 8, right? It's got 2 days of Rosh Chodesh. Right, Rosh Chodesh beats Chanukah 18 to 8, it's a blowout. Right, so in the Tanya question, Rosh Chodesh wins. So when we get to the sequence, we do Parsha, Rosh Chodesh, Chanukah. Ah, once Chanukah is ensconced in that last slot, then we have the Haftorah play off Chanukah. And again, in the Haftorah, we're no longer in the world of sequence, a little bit either or. And then Tanya is not so important, and Chanukah wins. So at this point, things seem pretty great that what our plan should be. So this is a great plan. Again, in the Kriyat HaTorah, Parsha, Rosh Chodesh, Chanukah. In the Haftorah is Chanukah. Okay, but now, Quincy, I forgot this. Tosa makes your point right now. The ode. Oh, this is really fascinating, actually. The Bekriyat HaTorah Ein Kokach Persume Niza. Ah, but for a different reason. Okay, She'eno Maskir Banero Kmoba Haftorah. Ah, terrific. What's the claim now, Tosa, to hear? So he says Quincy's point is right, but not as strongly as Quincy said it. Okay, anyone remember what we actually do eat on Chanukah? The Chanukat Hanasiim, right, in Sefer Bamidbar, because we're playing a little bit less off the candle theme and more off to the dedication of the temple theme, right? So we have, right, because, guys, when someone has, there's actually a good thing to know, okay? I'll do a little, Jonah, I'm doing Sephardi tangent, wake up, okay? Okay, hang in there. Okay, who here has ever been at a ceremony called a Chanukat Habayit? Okay, a bunch of you. What is a Chanukat Habayit? Yeah, but maybe how you translate Chanukah, probably a dedication ceremony. You move to a new house. So here I'll make a good rule for life, guys. Okay, and I don't mind admitting it. At rituals, Sephardim are just much better than Ashkenazim. Okay, they have more fun rituals. They know what to do. We Ashkenazim, we're just terrible. Okay, so if you ever go to Chanukah Rabbi, you really see it. You go to Ashkenazim, Chanukah Rabbi, they have no idea what to do. Sephardim, they got this whole ritual. Okay, so at one point, this is really interesting, actually. I'm at a Chanukah Rabbi to my Sephardi neighbor. Okay, Eli, tell me if you did this at your Chanukah Rabbi that you were at. Was it yours or? You said you've been to one, right? Okay, let me know if they did this. They started to read Mishnayot. Which Mishnah are they reading from? They're reading from Masechet Brachot, Masechet Beitza, and Masechet, for the sake of argument, I don't know what it was, Tamid. Okay, Beitza, Brachot, Brachot, Beitza, Tamid. And I cannot figure out at all, what is the thematic connection between Brachot, Beitza, Tamid, and dedicating a new house? It does not seem to have any connection whatsoever. Jake, if you know this, that's amazing. What do you think? Okay, that was very clever, actually, but not true. You have to realize one thing, guys. It's very hard to get the answer, because I already misled you. He wanted to say that Brachot's the first Masechet. We're kind of like trying to, as it were, like encompass Shas through. Well, since it's not true, I decided I wouldn't go through with it. Is that okay, Rafi? ask him during lunch, okay? Jake, after in lunch, tell Rafi what you're thinking. Okay. Okay, so you have to realize one thing, guys. No, it's not fair. No one could get it. If you got this, it would be weird. Okay, what is Masechet Beitza? Right, I'd be nervous if you got the answer. Okay, what's Masechet Beitza actually about? It is not a Masechet about eggs. It's a Masechet about Yom Tov. So I don't know if you ever saw this, but there's some Rishonim who don't refer to it as Masechet Beitza, but refer to it as Masechet Yom Tov. Okay, it's actually much more logical. It's actually quite a mystery why we call it a Masechet Beitza. Like, one mission is about eggs, right? The whole Masechet is about Yom Tov. Okay, I mean, I admit it happens to be the first mission, but nonetheless. Wait, so now let's think for a second. If I call it Yom Tov, what did you just notice?
Consecration of the day.
Brachot, Yom Tov, Tamid. Announce to me, you should get it. Brachot, Yom Tov, Tamid.
Buy it.
Buy it. Right, the Sephardim are spelling out buy it through the avenue of Mishnah. Okay, that is the next time you guys had a group of. You don't like that one, huh? All right, guys, Micah is not invited to your Sephardi Chanukah Buy It.
They don't call Yom Tov.
What?
They don't call it Yom Tov.
Maybe they do, I don't know. Wait, Eli, did they do that at your answer?
They did.
Did you see it?
Yeah, I think it's since.
There you go, because they go right. But Micah, if you go despite your opposition, I'm warning you, they're going to go around the table, you're going to have to recite a Mishnah. Right? Yes, Joe, so if you might have to tell them ahead of time that you're ideologically opposed, skip me when it comes to reciting a Mishnah. What do you mean? Is there any options for Yud?
Because I think they rubbish, the celebration.
Wait, I just have one question for you. So, Ari Tadaka did ask a good question, but is there any reason why Yomer Yevamot is better than Yom Tov? I'm saying, you didn't mean, okay, fair. But realize, guys, at some point, you got to choose something. Right, like you would, no one raised their hand and said, I object, because instead of Bracho, they should have chosen Bechoro. Right, and no one has raised that objection. Or Baba Kama would be great, and Baba Matzi and Baba Batra for that matter. Okay, I understand. Okay, fine. Wait, let me just finish the point here. I don't know how I got distracted. Ah, because Chanukah is really about dedication. So what are we reading in the Torah passage? We read about the Chanukah at the time of the Mishkan, but it doesn't mention candles. But now Tosus, it's interesting how your point is like halfway true for Tosus. What does Tosus would say? If I read a passage about the word Chanukah, or something, guess what? That is not really Persuminisa, because just that verb doesn't necessarily get me into Chanukah mode. But if I read Zechariah and there are candles in a menorah, what's his claim? That does communicate Chanukah. It's quite interesting. You guys can quibble with that. You could say either they both do or they both don't. What's the difference between using the word Chanukah and having Neirot? But Tosfos seems to think, you know, quickly, I'm glad because I've given this year before. I never really emphasized that point. Okay, because it is interesting. I just noticed that Tosfos says the Kriyat Torah is not so persuminisa oriented. But now you could say, no, but Tosfos seems to still be assuming the Torah is. So now I'm going to take questions, guys. Let me just sum up what we've done. Okay, but this I think is a really great toast because, again, it combined the sequence and the either-or. Okay, what do we have here? Here's what we do, guys. Parsha, Rosh Chodesh, Chanukah. Why does Rosh Chodesh beat out Chanukah? A, because this is a sequence question. But now Tosh has given us a second point. Not only is it a sequence question, but the Parsuminisa factor might be neutralized because the Torah portion doesn't mention candles, right? Doesn't have menorah or neirot. So maybe even, it doesn't really even have Parsuminisa. So surely Rosh Chodesh should win when it comes to the Torah fact. When we get to the Haftorah, now Tosfos assumes Parsuminisa is in full force, if we're from Zechariah. Therefore, and we're not in a sequence question, we're in an either-or question. Therefore, Parsuminisa should win. Secondly, Tosfos says, remember Tosfos' other argument, a little more technical? We like the Haftorah to link with what we read last, and we already decided that our last Torah reading is Chanukah. So now everything we do makes sense on multiple grounds. Okay, Quincy.
Okay, number one, just two things. I think Parsuma, you're assuming whatever you are going to read has something to do with Parsuma. But if I just say that Haftorah is totally discontextual from the idea of Parsuma, you just have to read something, and whatever you were reading didn't have anything to do with Parsuma.
Wait, well, clearly we try to read something that's relevant to the theme of the day.
Correct, but why is that got to do anything with Parsuma?
Well, we know that Chanukah is a value called Parsuminisa. Sure. Now, I admit, in theory, some could say we only accomplish that by lighting Chanukah candles. But clearly, what's the that'd be an interesting question, actually. Where else we find... Quincy is asking an interesting question, right? Obviously, Chanukah has the value called Parsuminisa. But do I only manifest that by lighting Chanukah candles, or anything I do over the course of Chanukah to help spread the story? So Tosfos clearly assumes the latter. Right? I'm curious if there's a clear source for that. But that's clearly the assumption here.
Yeah, I mean, that's the second point. It seems to me that Parsuminisa is only about the fact that we put candles by a window.
Okay, just so, any reason why you're so adamant about that?
Yeah, because the Gemara doesn't mention Parsuminisa by Alamichya. So why would I assume...
Because Alamichya, there's no nace that it's trying to... being a farsi.
It's all about the battle. It's winning the battle. That's the Nest of Talent. One of the Nessians.
Oh, I'm sorry. Wait, I'm not even sure you're right. Does it not take person in the context of all Nissan? I'm not sure you're right about that, actually. But I will do some more research. That's an interesting question, Quincy.
But that would improve the Zaharia point in that when you're talking about contrast on this there, okay, so there's no... If you associate Persuma Nisa just with candles, you have to mention candles to have that...
Okay, no, okay, Quincy, I like what you're saying, but I thought you were going to be even for more restrictive.
Yeah.
It's not candles per se that is restrictive, only the mix of lighting candles.
That was my first point. And my second point is, okay, so if you're going to say we can do Persuma Nisa in Haftarah, then it has to be...
Okay, good. I see. Between your first point and your second point, you got more flexible. You're getting more flexible in your old age, Quincy. Okay, yeah, Mark?
I look more at the provide. It stops Brahut, Yantif, and Tamir.
Okay.
When you're begging a new house, then you want to have, like, a good start. And you rebuild the style because Brahut, you're sanctifying like yourself and like the habits around you, food, right, making Brahut and by dominating. But Yantif, you're sanctifying time, right, with sanctifying the gatherings that are going to happen in your house. Holidays.
Wow, very clever, Mark. That was great. Mark's going to put that in his safer. Excellent. Oh, I just realized one thing. I have a very technical answer, but maybe Jojo, yeah, I don't know if you're going to remember this, because I can't remember it either. Who else, besides Jojo and Eli, who else has experienced this Sfardi in Chalukodabai? Don, do you remember the reading of Mishnayot? Okay. Does anyone know, did they read the entire Masechet? That's what I can't remember. Do you have any recollection? I can't remember. Put it this way, guys. Okay, so we're going to go with Jojo's recollection. Jojo remembers waiting a long time. So let's say they read the entire Masechet. So I know it's not such an exciting answer, but it might just be that Beitza is shorter than Yoma and shorter than Yevamah. And therefore, I know Mark has it. This is why you feel this like clash in life sometimes. You have a beautiful answer. Your answer is actually probably the right answer. Okay, so Mark, give you a very beautiful answer. I really suspect they just wanted the shorter Masechet. I'll give you one other example of this, guys, and then I'll take Sol's comment. Okay, this is, I know I shouldn't do this because we always look for maximum meaning in a Raita, but we also look for honesty in a Raita. So sometimes honesty is going to beat the maximum meaning. Okay, so I don't know if you ever discussed the order of Masechtot in Shas. Let's say why Nashim is Yevamot, Ketuvot, Nedarim, Nazir, Sota. Do you ever discuss that? So if you look at the Rambam and his Hakdama to the Parashah and the Mishnah, he has all kinds of meaningful reasons why there are links and things like that. And in the, I think the 17 or 1800s, a scholar realized that in every Seder, they simply go from the Masechta with the most chapters to the Masechta with the fewest chapters. Okay, so check it out. Okay, you'll see every single Seder is like that with a couple of rare exceptions. Right, meaning the reason why Kiddushin is last is not because anything grand about Kiddushin. Kiddushin is last because Kiddushin only has four chapters. Really? And every other Masechet in Nashim has more than four chapters. Okay, so check it out. So guys, again, we're not going to give up our quest for meaning, but we will honestly admit that sometimes it was more technical. Okay, so...
The time is shorter than
so just to clarify, like, with this, I guess...
I'm not sure, actually.
Tier yeah. List of, like, different clarifications. Like,
yeah.
So it goes, like, Shalom Bias, and then Persuma Nisa, and then Tadir.
Yes.
So,
but again, but don't forget, the one caveat I would put in is, you have to first clarify, are we talking about a sequence question or an either-or question?
Okay. So my question was going to be, like, why is Tadir suddenly more important than Persuma Nisa when it comes to... Why don't we prioritize?
So you're a great guy, but you must have fallen asleep for a certain portion of Shir. That's because that's a sequence question and not an either or question.
Again, Kevin,
you understand the difference?
Yeah.
Okay. Yonadav, how are you doing there? When did you come?
What?
When did
you
All right. How could it be I don't notice you? You're such a noticeable personality. Okay, that's true. By the way, I wouldn't warn anybody else who wants to put on a hat for Mincha. I don't take attendance at Mincha, but if you wear a hat, I'm going to notice every day if you're a Mincha or not. Okay, so I'm just warning you now. Anybody else want to take on the hat?
Do fezzes count?
What?
Do fezzes count? What's your need?
Do fezzes count? I'm not sure about that. Okay, yeah.
Is it possible that there's other ways to kill Shalom Bias other than through lighting Shabbos candles?
Oh, that's an interesting question. I guess we think it's crucial. I guess we think it's pretty crucial. That's an interesting question. Okay, last comment.
Is there a test case that we might have for sequence with their
Ah, very good. So the only thing is there might be other things at work there. So that was an excellent question. Very good. Tell all your platonic friends that you asked a great question today. Okay. Today, Leo, it's not fair that you're the person in the room who enjoys it the most when you make fun of it. We got to do something about that. Okay, so last thing, guys. Now, as we said, every year, Shabbos and Chanukah overlap. So now, Noah's a great point. Wait, now we have a sequence question of Ner Shabbos versus Ner Chanukah. So this is great. Maybe Ner Shabbos should win now because of, for different reasons, not because of Shalom Bayit, but because of Tadir. Can you tell me another factor that might play a role, though? Why we might have to shift gears?
Shabbos can't light a fire.
The standard, certain Ashkenazi minug, is that when a woman lights Shabbos candles, she takes on Shabbat. And then maybe at that point, you couldn't do the malacha of lighting the Chanukah candles afterward. So there might be a different reason there. There might be a different reason why Chanukah candles will be first. All right, guys, we'll pick up next time. Have a great Shabbos.